Let us begin our evening service tonight as we turn to a hymn book, to page number 691. 691, Saved by Grace. Let's stand together to, at this time, if you're able to. Everyone has it. Can we stand and sing and make a joyful noise unto the Lord while we're singing? 691. Someday the silver car will break, and I no more as thou shalt sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King. I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Someday my earthly house will fall, I cannot tell how soon 'twill be. But this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me. I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Someday when faith the golden sun beneath the rosy dint will rest, my blessed Lord shall say well done, and I shall enter to rest. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Let's sing number 4. Someday till then I watch and wait, my lamp all trim and burning bright, that when I say we are over gate, my soul to him may take its flight. I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace.
You may stand up for prayer. Pastor Rice, would you lead us, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of being in church tonight.
To hear
your word and to be edified through the songs and the testimonies. We thank you for your great love for us, how you have saved us by grace.
Amen.
We are on our way to heaven, and we look forward to that day. But until then, Lord, help us to be useful to you here on earth, to tell others and to help more people come into your kingdom.
Amen.
And to then disciple them. Lord, we pray you'd bless and guide our night tonight. Be with Pastor Logan as he preaches. Give him the
Amen.
Message that we all need tonight. And I pray that you would bless all that goes on this evening for your honor and glory. Bless him on his 80th birthday. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. And let's continue good singing tonight. The topics are heaven. So you notice also our hymn tonight will be centered around heaven or things of heaven. So let's turn back to the next verse. Another song will be 690, Sweet By and By. Let's sing it together. There's a land that is fairer than this, and by faith we can see it afar. Farther, farther we took on the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by.
we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melody, song of the blessed, and the spirits flow no more. Not the sigh for the blessing of rest in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on the beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. Let's sing the last verse. To a bountiful Father above, we will call for the tribute of praise, for the glorious prophet's love, and the blessing that hallowed is in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on the beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Amen. A beautiful song that reminds us of loved ones who have gone on before and of a home when he calls. Let's pause for the announcements, and then we shall come back to sing some more.
Amen. Welcome. Good evening. How's everybody doing tonight?
Just fine.
It's cool in here compared to out there. I was just outside, very humid, muggy. Just gearing up for some rain tonight, but it'll be done by 4 in the morning, so it won't bother us tomorrow at the picnic. But just to warn you, it'll be, what do you say, it's coming around 11 to 4, somewhere around there. Okay. So, it's good to have Linda and LJ with us. Welcome back, Linda and LJ. It's good to see you again. We've missed you both. And we have an honor award, Master Club's Little Shepherds for LJ. Come on up, LJ. He, on his great improvement he's made over this past year. And so we want to give LJ. Oh, careful! Don't want to drop you here. And so tell us what you've been learning this past year.
Jim.
Okay. All right. Well, we're glad that you are back with us tonight.
Okay. Good.
And here for the weekend with Grandma. All right. So a little something to remember us by. And glad you're continuing what you're learning from Master's Club and from church. Focusing on the Lord. All right. At this time, we just want to direct your attention to our bulletin. We do have an afterglow tonight, so if you can stay with us, please stay with us and share some food. There's hot dogs. There's other things, and so we want to please stay with us for our afterglow tonight. Then next Sunday, we're having a VBT planning meeting to get ready for VBT this year. Tomorrow morning is the Memorial Day Church Picnic, so come on out starting at 12 noon right here at the church. So bring some food with you and a little extra to share. Then next Saturday, not this Saturday, the following Saturday, June 8th, we'll be having a church gardening and shed raising day starting at 10 a.m. And we'll start with donuts, fruit, and then lunch will be provided as well. So let us get as much done as we can to get the shed and the gardening done for the church and for the glory of the Lord. And then this Tuesday we will be going out soul winning. If you can make it out with us 10 a.m. starting here at the church, then or if you can't make it 10 a.m. Tuesday, help us out Thursday night at 7 as we go follow up more of the Good News Club students. All right, any other announcements that need to be mentioned tonight? Yes, the Vacation Bible Time sign-up. Did that get around this morning? I don't think that got around. So, Messiah, do you want to start that? We have a sign-up list for VBT. If you can help out with whatever you can help out with, if you can bring snacks or if you can help us the week of, just put on there what you can do so we can reach out to our community this summer. Then
Father's Day is coming up Sunday, June 18th. Look forward to that as well. So invite a special man in your life or your dad. Invite someone to come for Father's Day this year. All right, any other announcements that need to be mentioned? Anything else? Okay, at this time we'll have our ushers come as we give to the Lord this evening of our tithes and offerings to God. And pray for Elizabeth. She's a little under the weather tonight. She had some stomach pains all afternoon. So she's better now, so pray for her. All right, let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for the day of somebody you brought this evening, Lord. This is my prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Let us turn back to a hymn books to page number 840. As we mentioned before, we're thinking of heaven and the beauty of heaven. 840. What a day that will be. Sing it.
There is coming a day when the whole day shall come, no clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eyes. All is peace forevermore, and that happy golden show. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more passing over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Amen. Can you imagine what a day that is going to be when the trumpet from heaven sung by the archangels and we just caught up to meet the Lord in the air? It's going to be a wonderful time. Let's open up for testimonies. Anyone who would like to give before us to give their testimony? And give praise to the Lord of some blessing you could have had, you might have had this past day or the past week. Time to share that blessing. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yes, my three eldest children have a blessing to share from this afternoon.
Okay.
So I'll let them share that. How you start?
So, we went to nursing home today, me, Lydia, and Holly, and the girls brought the piano books, and I brought my violin, and we glorified the Lord.
Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lady, Lydia.
We had a nice time. People enjoyed the singing and the him playing and the musical instruments.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Tell them we went and visited afterwards.
We visited a man. He usually comes to church, but he couldn't today because he was a pastor.
Stomach cancer.
Okay.
He's declining, but he really wanted to be there. So we sang a couple songs for him and prayed with him. And, pray for him. He's definitely a good
friend. Okay. All right. We have a third person. There were three. Holly, you're next, little lady. Tell us your story. What happened? Okay. Stand up, Billy. Okay.
And who promised to come? Church, remember Kaylee and Gary.
Okay. Oh, they want
to
start
going.
The parents and grandparents. Okay, praise the Lord. At least thank God for sharing the gospel. Someone else with a blessing from there. Go ahead, Evan.
I just want to say, first of all, how the Massive Club went. We were able to have a new student, and that's always a blessing in my heart. But my prayer tonight is for Uncle Duncan and Joanne. They'll be flying this Tuesday to go to North Carolina to see Talia graduating.
Okay, praise the Lord.
Granddaughter.
Okay. We're praying for the trip as you travel. Okay. Anyone else with a blessing from past day or the past week? It's testimony time. We have over 10 minutes. That's the time to share a blessing. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yes. It was a blessing at Meadowview to go there this afternoon. It was the fourth Sunday of the month. And the lady who's been coming on Sunday morning, Karen,
mm-hmm.
with her dad, Mr. Coffey, he turns out... we had all the veterans stand, or at least raise their hand, and he raised his hand. He's 97 years old, and he's a World War II veteran.
Wow.
So I said, oh, we had two World War II vets in the church. He said, oh, I would love to bring him. He said, he's not quite there yet, but he's getting better, so she wants to bring him down to church one of these Sundays.
Okay.
97-year-old World War II vet, and he's a Christian as well. They're from North Jersey, so they.
Okay.
That's where he came from. So pray for Karen. She's going to be in church next Sunday, she said. And the rest of the people were edified, and no one made a decision for salvation because everybody in the room was already saved. Well, at least
okay.
most people that we know of anyway. So that was a great blessing just to be a help and a blessing to them.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Someone else. There's there. Go ahead.
I want to pray for all the veterans of soldiers.
Okay.
World War II, like you said.
Mr. Roy.
And
Cobblestone
died in World War II, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank God they died so we can enjoy the freedom we have. Mm-hmm. Amen. Anyone else with a testimony? You know what? While you're waiting, when you're thinking of what you want to say, let's turn back to your hymn book, page 809. This is a song from a first book. You sing the first and last verses, and then you open for more testimonies. 809. Until then, 809. Maybe time to find it. Everyone has it? 809. Alrighty, this is good. My heart can sing when I pause to remember my heart they care. It's but a stepping stone along my trail that winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I carry on until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day thou calls me home. Blessing number three. This very world with all its toils and struggles may take it all of misery and strife. The soul of man
It's like a raven falcon when it's released. It's destined for the sky. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day that calls me home. Amen. And if someone else for the testimony. You can choose a song if you choose to, instead of words. Tell us, Isaiah?
8 to 5.
In this same book, right?
Yes.
Okay, 8 to 5 from Isaiah. Because he lives.
God sent his son, they call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy pardon, an empty grave there to prove a Savior lives. Because he lives and face tomorrow. Because he lives, our prayer is gone. Because I know, he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Let's sing number 3. And then one day, I cross the river, I fight life on the Lord with me. And then I said, give it to victory, I see the light, the glory has, I know he lives, because he lives. I can face tomorrow, because he lives. Our prayer is gone, because I know he holds our future. And life is worth the living just, because he lives.
Amen. Any more testimonies? Someone else have a testimony. I must say, just give a song. Let someone else take a chance. Testimony?
Carol.
Oh, Carol. Come on, guys. Carol.
I was very glad. My husband was with me this morning, and once again, I don't ever want it to be thought that I take your prayers for granted, because I need them. Let's see. It was a little rough getting here, but it was a blessing that we brought here.
Amen.
And I was getting concerned because they were supposed to be coming back. I had everything laid out before I came to quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But I just talked to Karen, and they are on the way to come back tonight.
Okay.
So I prayed for them.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Someone else? What a blessing. We have about 5 minutes. Go ahead. Okay. Praise the Lord. That's good news. Amen. All right. Anyone else? What a blessing. You ladies had your hand up over there. What was your request? Earlier before Miss Carol spoke.
107 in the Majesty.
Oh, 107 in the Majesty. You forgot you had your hand up. Let us stand on this song, and because this is just before the Pastor Lord comes. 170, you say it is?
107.
107, okay. Maybe we have time to sing all 3 verses. Let's sing them all together, making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Yeah, not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will come, the day is done. There's not a friend like the Lord Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not a Lord that he is not near us. Not one, no, not one. Jesus knows about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. Was not well given. No, not one, no, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. Not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not one, no, not one.
Amen. You may be seated. What a wonderful invitation Jesus gave to everyone on earth, that he has a home in heaven for them if they only accept his son, Jesus Christ. At this time, we have Pastor Logan come and speak for us.
Before he comes, we have special music by the young lady.
Okay, let's have
Armani
a music.
On down.
Okay, let's have special music before Pastor Logan comes. Okay, it's on that side or this side?
Happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. Every day of the year, may you feel Jesus near. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. The best that you ever had.
Amen. Now he can come.
Good evening to everyone tonight. How are you all feeling? Amen. Not feeling good. Nobody said anything. Okay. How are you feeling tonight?
Good.
All right. Enjoyed the young people singing. We often say the young people are the church of tomorrow. That's not so much true. I think they're the church of today. You take the young people out and who do we have? Nothing, right?
That's right.
Okay. God bless you tonight. Oh, I'll say like my friend Dr. Hudson would say, I won't be long, a couple of hours we'll be out of here. Will I be alone? Probably so.
I will keep you company.
Okay. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you, we love you, we praise your name.
Amen.
We thank you, Father, for this day you provided for each and every one of us. For our nation, for our leaders in authority, we thank you, Lord. For the nation of Israel, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Be with that nation, Lord. We owe great debt to the nation of Israel. We will never be able to repay that debt, Lord, and you do not require that we do repay it, because we thank you that you paid the total debt.
Amen.
At Calvary's cross. Through your suffering, death, resurrection, Lord, we are saved tonight. Bless the word in Jesus' name, we pray. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to talk about being a disciple of the Lord. And our scripture is in the book of Luke, the 14th chapter of Luke, verses 26 to 33. 14th chapter of Luke, verses 26 to 33. And in that it says this, if any man, now that's a generic term, man or woman, so it doesn't leave the lady folks out, it means man or woman. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and his wife and children and brother and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. But which of you intended to build a tower, sit not down first, and count the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that beholding began to mock him, saying, this man begun to build, but not able to finish. Of what king going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the others are great way off, he sent an ambassador and desires conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Being a disciple for the Lord. Each one of us here tonight that I say, whether we recognize it or not, so good to see you, Brother Roy. Whether we recognize it tonight, so good to see you. Whether we recognize it tonight, we are disciples of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I think first, fundamentally, we need to know what a disciple is, and I'm sure you know, but let me just remind us that each one of us, as a disciple, if we claim to be a disciple, we are a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor talked about, does he still have it on the board? No, he has something else there. But he talked about this morning in the Sunday school class about being, let's see, how did he have it? He talked about the scripture that when we look at the scripture, we have to make an application to our lives. When I was in seminary, one of the things that the professors brought out was that every scripture interpretation demands a practical application.
Right.
Now, let me explain that. I'm sure we know again. Most of the stuff that we say as preachers, you already know. But we need to be reminded, don't we?
Right.
Because we as humans are so forgetful. I remember when I was in grade school many years ago, let's see, who was president? Maybe Lincoln? I think it was somewhere along that area. Brother Roy and I were down south in those days. And we had a two-room school that I went to, and it had what those days we called a potbelly stove. Now, you young people don't know what that is, but it's a stove that used coal, and it sits in the front of the classroom. And that was the only source of heat we had in the wintertime. Well, when I was in school, if I act up in school, which I always did, the teacher would make us walk around that stove saying, I will not talk in class. I will not talk in class. And so around and around that stove I went, I will not talk in class again. I will not talk in class again. When the recess came and I looked out the window, the kids without playing, I was still walking around that part of the stove. I will not talk in class. I will not talk in class. So after that, you know what I didn't do? Didn't talk in class. Amen. So what the teacher knew, and I think every teacher knows that, that fundamental basis of teaching is repetition. Repetition. Over and over and over again. The Holy Spirit knew that in order for us to learn, we needed repetition. And that's why I believe in the Bible, you'll find that sometimes complete chapters are recorded again. And you might say, well, I just read this in another book. Why is it saying this? Because God knows, the Holy Spirit knows, and the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher the world has ever known. The Holy Spirit knows that we as human beings are going to be forgetful. We forget. I once gave my wife, she would always forget her keys. And I bought a little electronic device to put on the keys, and you press the little remote control, and it would beep, and she'd know what the key, where the keys were. And you know what happened? She lost the remote. So it didn't solve the problem. It really created another problem. But in our lives, we know that we are forgetful. It doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are forgetful. Now, the Holy Spirit knew this, and so that's why the Bible quotes language over and over again. Now, getting back to the message, being a disciple of the Lord, there are qualifications, the Bible tells us, in order to be a disciple. You just don't become a disciple. Now, what does the scripture say? If any man will come after me, again, that's a generic term, man or woman, if any man will come after me and hate, that doesn't mean hate like you see hate today. Bear in mind that there are three things that happen to any language, no matter what language. There are three things that happen to one of the things that happen to a language, or any language, is the fact that words change their meaning. Another thing that happens to the language is that words drop out of our dictionary. Another thing that happens to the language is that new words come into our language. And so when we look at the Bible and we see some things in the Bible, we sometimes have to go back to the original language to know what's going on. Okay? So when the word hate is used, it means prefer. Doesn't mean you have to hate your mom and your dad. God doesn't want any of us to hate our mom and our dad. Amen? Especially got to love the mom. And what do we often say? If mom is not happy, nobody happy. Dad, well, nobody cares about dad. But if mom's not happy. So God doesn't want us to hate our moms or our dad for that term. And so the Bible says, if any man will come after me and prefer not his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yea, and his own life also. In other words, God is saying to you and me that if we are going to be his disciples, we have to prefer him above all of these other things in our life, even our own life. We have to prefer him above that. And if you don't do that, then you can't be his disciple. So that's one qualification. Reading further says, he cannot be number seven. Whosoever does not bear his cross. Every one of us have a cross. I don't know what your cross is. Maybe some mother-in-law. I don't know. But we all have crosses, don't we? Right. I thank God I had a good mother-in-law. But some of us are not that fortunate. And sometimes a mother-in-law can be a cross. It can be a burden, but because of the love we have for our wife, we put up with it, don't we? Right. Amen. Praise God. So each of us has a burden. It could be a habit that we had before we became a born-again believer. And we must guard our presence and around those that have that habit. Let me give you an example. Let's suppose before you became a Christian, you was maybe not an alcoholic, but you drank. Now, you certainly don't want to be around people that drink. Amen? Now, there are those that say that when I got delivered from alcohol, I got completely delivered, and I didn't even want it anymore. Well, that's not true for all Christians. Okay? Sometimes God delivers us, but we must bear in mind that the scripture says there is a sin that we ought to avoid that so easily beset us. So whatever that sin is, maybe it was, whatever it may have been in your life. Each one of us has a sin that affects us personally, and we need to stay away from that. So the Bible says, whosoever does not bear his cross, every one of us have a cross to bear. When we get up in the morning, we have a cross to bear. But bear in mind that Christ said, I will not put upon you any more than you're able to bear, but with every way I'll take the cross away. No, I'll make a way that you may be able to bear it. We already have those crosses. Amen. God says he won't put us up any more than we're able to bear it. Sometimes we say, Lord, I can't take it anymore. I just can't take it anymore. And the Lord says, I know what you can bear. I made a way already. In fact, everything that you and I are going to encounter in life, Christ has already thought about it. Right. Now, if we say that God is omniscient, that means he knows everything. That means there's nothing that happens in life that affects us that God didn't know about. And he made preparation for that. although sometimes we seem like we're at the end of our rope. Lord, I just can't take it anymore. This mother-in-law, I don't want to pick on mother-in-law, but that comes to mind. Whatever it may be in life, your husband or your wife may have a habit that you might have known that you had before you married him or her, but now you love her or him, whatever the case may be, and you're stuck with it. Amen? Maybe they snore at night. You're not going to throw your wife out or your husband out because it snows. So you're stuck with it. That can be a burden. Amen? Now, maybe some of you haven't been in a household where people snow. I was in the household with a friend of mine. Boy, you could hear him upstairs. I mean, he was downstairs. Some people snow real loud. But if it's a friend or relatives, whatever it is, you got to bear that cross. Amen? Now, there are other crosses we need to bear as born-again believers. Christ may be leading you, especially you young people. He may be leading you to be a missionary. He might say, I don't want to go to Asia or Africa. When I go to high school and college, get out, I want to get a good paying job. Why would I want to go there? Well, you may not want to go. But if the Lord is leading you in that direction, you'll be a much happier person by obeying God. Amen? You can have all the money you want in the world, but if it doesn't bring some lasting happiness, some lasting enjoyment, what use is it? I thank God that there are young people today, like Ethan, your son, who spent 4 years in, I guess, college and 2 years in grad school just to get a degree to become a preacher. Preachers don't make a lot of money, people. Stop looking at television and these preachers that have multi-congregation, have thousands of people in the church and make big salaries. That's not the true representative of preachers. Preachers are low-paid people. Nobody regulates our salary. Nobody says that, I think we should raise the salary to minimum wage. We don't even get minimum wage. So if God is calling you there, that may be a cross. But in the end, and really it's the end that counts, isn't it?
Right.
It's the end that really counts. What's 1,000 years, and none of us lived 1,000 years, even Methuselah didn't make that, but what's 1,000 years on this planet compared to eternity? Not a fair fight, is it? Not really. The Bible said, what did the songwriter say about heaven? When we have been there 10,000 years. 10,000 years? Bright shining at the sun, we are no less days to praise his name than when we first begun.
Amen.
Be a disciple of the Lord. Being a disciple of the Lord. And so that's the second requirement, when we bear our cross. And we're supposed to bear it every day. Every day we bear our cross. You may have a cross today that you may not have tomorrow. You may have a cross this week that you didn't have last week. You may have a cross next year that you don't have this year. Whatever that cross is, we are to bear it gladly for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what did he do for us? What did he do for us? Think about what he did for you and me. He paid a price, as most preachers say. He paid a price that he did not owe for a debt that we owed that we couldn't pay. I mean, if you was in hell for 10,000 years, and after 10,000 years of being in hell, and you looked up toward heaven and said, well, I guess I got the debt by paid now. You know what? You haven't even made a down payment on it. You'll never get out. Now, that's the worst thing that can happen, I think, to mankind is to have no hope. If a person has cancer, they have a hope that someday somebody will find a cure for that cancer. If somebody has AIDS, they have a hope that someday somebody will find a cure for that age. But a man or woman that goes to hell, there's no hope. No hope, no hope. If I could put a sign over the door of hell, I'd do like Donald Trump did in Atlantic City. You know, when Donald Trump was heydays in Atlantic City, I mean, everywhere you look, I saw his name, big letters, Trump, Trump, right? If I had the money and I could find the door of hell, I'd put a big sign on hell, on the entrance of hell, and on that sign I would write, beyond this point, there is no hope. No hope. No hope at all. No hope at all. A person that goes to hell and he goes to sleep at night, I guess he can sleep, I don't know about that. But if he wakes up the next day, he's still there. He goes to sleep and sleeps for a year like Rip Van Winkle, and he wakes up after so many years. He's still there. There was absolutely no hope. The worst thing, they say, one of the worst things in prison is solitary confinement. Because there's no hope that God's got nobody to talk to. We need each other. You might think, I don't need anybody. I can go it by myself. No, you can't. God has designed us so we need each other. I need you. You need me. We need each other. But a man or woman that goes to hell, he's there. He has no hope. No hope at all. Okay, so being a disciple, number one, we must prefer Christ before anything else. Nothing in life can come before him. Number two, we must take up our cross every day, and we need to bear. And then number three, everything that we do in life, there's a price on it. You know that? If a man starts building a house, this is what the Bible says. He lays the foundation. And maybe he got the walls up. But the Hodges knows about building. And perhaps Rice a little bit. I know Brother Roy knows a lot about building. Right, Brother Roy? You know a lot about building, right? And he can tell you that when you first get ready to build, and you got those blueprints there, and you say, okay, I need so many nails, I need so many 2x4s, I need so much shingles, I need this, that, and the other. You add the price up, and you say one or two things. I can afford to build this building completely, or there's just not enough to do it. How many times have you, and I, especially in the South, drive down the highway, and I see a building that's not complete? Next year, it's still there. So what happened? This guy started that building, but he didn't count the cost. He didn't count the cost. So he wasn't able to finish it. How, what does it have to do with being a disciple? As a born-again believer, count the cost. What did it cost? You said, well, Jesus paid the cost. Yeah, but you have to pay a cost, too. What is that cost? One, the people that you used to run with, you know, you can't run with those people anymore. You're going to choose some different friends. Right. Secondly, people that you thought that love you, young people, when you go off to college, and as a born-again believer, you're going to find those friends that in college, for the most part, you cannot be friends with them because they're going in the wrong direction. That's the cause, because everybody wants to be liked. I don't know about you, but everybody wants to be liked. I don't know anybody that says, I don't care if nobody loves me. No, we have that human characteristic of wanting people to like us. So it's going to be a challenge for you young people going to college. More today than it was in my day. It's a challenge, because you're going to meet people, for the most part, who are really not interested in what the Bible has to say. You're going to meet people who say, I'm really not willing to live the life that you have promised to live. And so the Bible says, count the cost. Being a disciple. And if you count the cost, as you accept Christ, you count those costs, you probably will not turn back. Most people turn back in life because they never counted the cost. That's why I say to people, like, for example, you're driving in the highway and somebody cuts you off or somebody's give you a thing or whatever, you got to make up your mind before that happens how you're going to react. Because if you don't, even as a born-again believer, you probably react the wrong way. Decide now what I'm going to do if I run into this case or that case or the other case. What am I going to do? And if you decide what you're going to do now, you've counted the cost and you're willing to pay it. Let me read that scripture again. If any man come to me and hate, again, the word prefer, it's not his father, his mother, his wife, and children, and brother, and sister, yea, and his own life. Also, he cannot be my disciple. Right. Are you a disciple of Christ? Are you standing up to those qualifications? I hope you are. And whosoever does not bear his cross. Now, that doesn't mean you walk around with a wooden cross. We have one here. A wooden cross on your back, you know. Not a bad thing to do. There's a guy on TBN that took the cross around the world. It took 40 years for him to do it. Take cross all around the world. That's good. But that's not what this verse means. It doesn't mean taking a wooden cross. It means the burden you bear, the price you pay for being a born-again believer. And there is a price. I say too often we preachers dwell on the fact that Jesus paid the price, and the songwriter say he paid it all. He did pay it all for your salvation, but there's a price that you and I have to pay. As a born-again believer, it's tough today to be a Christian. And if anybody tells you it's not tough, they haven't walked the path that I've walked.
Right.
It's tough being a Christian today. There's so many things out there in the world that excites us, so many things that begging for our attention, clamoring for our attention. There's so many voices that are clamoring for your attention. The television, the game show, all kinds of things out there are clamoring for your attention. If you're not careful, you're going to give in to that. We don't want you to do that. We want you to depend on Jesus. I will supply all your needs according to what? Riches and glory. Not here on earth, according to his riches and glory. For which are you intended to build a tower or building? Sit it not down first. This is what a wise person will do. And count it the cost. Whether you have sufficient to finish it. The starting is easy. But you got to finish the thing. And as you finish it, you're going to find out if you haven't correctly sit down and count the cost, by the time you finish it, it's not going to be anywhere near where you thought it was going to be. Even when you count the cost, because of inflation and other things in life, you find out that building may be more than you thought it was going to be. So that's why when builders sit down and they read the contract, they say that this is the projected cost of this building. If you finish it this year, if you finish it on this day. But if you don't finish it on that day, what happens? You're in for a surprise. That $100,000 building, all of a sudden, can be $120,000. The price of building goes up. The price of labor goes up. Everything goes up. Material goes up. And you got to make sure that you make reservation for that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, saying, this man begun to build, but not able to finish. What king going to war, to make war against another king? That's pretty self-explanatory there. Sit it not down first. Such so whether he's able with 10,000, beat him to come up with 20,000. Now, this is talking about warfare, but it's applying it to a spiritual meaning. In other words, if a man's going to have war with another country, he better find out how many missiles he's got and how many soldiers he's got and how many tanks he's got. But otherwise, he may find out that, we went to war with a country, and he says, this is going to be the mother of all battles. What was his name? Saddam Hussein, right? Boy, he didn't count the cost.
Yes.
Boy, did he not count the cost. So we have to count the cost. And in everyday life, we count the cost of being a dedicated, separated, consecrated, spiritual life, a leading this type of life. And it starts the day you accept Christ.
Right.
You can't wait 10 years down the road and say, well, if I knew it would be this much, I wouldn't have been a Christian. No, you count it the day you cross. You accept Christ. And you make a decision. And when you make that decision, bear in mind, Christ is going to be with you along the way, all the way. He's going to be right there. He's going to be there.
Right.
Whatever you're going through, he's going to be there.
Amen.
There come moments that you feel that you want. But I'm telling you, Brother Roy can tell you, his wife can tell you, Brother Hodges, those of us that have been on this field for a long time, it's not an easy battle, people. It's not an easy battle. It's difficult. Very, very difficult. Ethan, son, he's going to be tempted along the way. Somebody's going to come to him and say, well, come over and pastor us. We got 5,000 people in our church. And he may not be led by the Lord to do that. But Satan is strong, isn't he? I'm reminded of this lady who, her husband told her, I'm tired of you buying new dresses. No more new dresses. No more new dresses. So she said, well, I'm going downtown. I'm just going to look. Oh, boy, that's the wrong trip to make. Isn't this a start? You don't go look, right? So she went downtown and looked. She went to the store. And she put on this nice dress, and she thought about what her husband said. And she said, it looks pretty good. Finally, she heard a voice behind her. It was Satan saying, looks pretty good from back here. He's always there, isn't he? And he's always encouraging you. Go on. You can handle it. You can handle it. It's not an easy road. There's a much easier road to travel. The Bible says there's a broad way and there's a narrow way. The broad way looks pretty good. You mean? You heard the story about the rabbit and the hare? I mean, I hear the robbers in school. You kids may not have it today. But the story goes, the rabbit and the hare, and they had a little race. And, of course, the rabbit is not a rabbit and the hare. The rabbit and the tortoise. So you know a rabbit is faster than a tortoise, right? He goes very slow. You know, very slow. So the rabbit figured he had it made. So he hopped around, and it was sun shining, and he hopped in the shade, and I laid in the shade for a while. The tortoise, he's just, you know, taking those graceful steps. He never stopped. He looked over there to the rabbit on the shade, kept going. So the rabbit finally woke up, but by the time he woke up, the tortoise had won the race. Amen. So in life, it's not the person that the fastest is going to get there. Christ is going to be with you all the way. It's going to seem like he's not there sometimes. I don't know whether Pastor Rice experienced it or not, but I'm sure if he lives long enough, he will. But sometimes we get in life and say, Lord, you know, here I am, you know. I'm your servant. Where are you? I mean, I need help here, Lord. You will go through that. But he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll be with you. I'll go with you through death. Man cannot go with you through death. He can go to the grave, and that's all he can do. My wife passed, all I could do is go to the grave. Couldn't go any further. But Christ said, I'll go with you what? Unto death. He'll go with you all the way. Amen?
Amen.
Being a disciple of the Lord. And finally says, what king? The other, yet a great way off. He sent an ambassador and desired condition of peace. So likewise, who shall be of you that forsaketh not all that he has? And that's the last condition. He cannot be my disciple. You still want to be the disciple? You sure you still want to be there? You still want to keep working for the Lord, Brother Hodges? You still want to? You think it's still working? You think the journey is still working? How are you, Pastor Rice? You think the journey is still working? Oh, you're just getting started. You're a young person. You're just getting started. All right, Sister
Carol.
Sister Carol, yes. She's been on the trail a little bit longer than you have. What do you think about it, Sister Carol? You think you
worth every step.
You think it is? Oh, boy. You sang a song in the church. It pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day. It pays to serve Jesus every step of the way. That's true, isn't it? It pays to serve Jesus. It may not pay on this side, young folks and adult folks. It may not pay on this side. But oh, on the other side. The songwriter again says, when we have been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we're no less days to sing his praise than when we first begun. How long is that eternity? I'll close on this. And I guess when the preacher said he'd close on that, doesn't mean a whole lot. Sometimes they talk 10 minutes afterward, and they're supposed to close 10 minutes ago. But I close on this, I really will. Somebody said, how do you measure eternity? And somebody said, well, if a little bird, a little sparrow bird, they don't fly very fast, they don't fly very high. But if a little sparrow could go to Mount McKinley, young folks, you know it, is the highest mountain in North America. If he could go to Mount McKinley, and in his beak, he would take a little piece of that Mount McKinley, a little sparrow, and it would fly all the way across the oceans, all the way to Europe, and take that little stone that he got in his beak and deposit it in Europe. Then he'd fly all the way back to the United States to Mount McKinley and get another stone. And then fly all the way back, you get the story. By the time he would move Mount McKinley all the way to Europe, eternity would be in his first tick. There's no way to measure eternity. There's no way to measure eternity. Would we be that 10,000 years, the songwriter said. Imagine, 10,000 years. We're no less days to sing his praise than when we first begun. Being a disciple of the Lord, it pays, young people. It pays the dog. Keep being a disciple of the Lord. Pastor Rice.
Let us bow our heads and close our eyes as we turn to our hymn books. 440. Instead of bowing your heads and closing your eyes, let's all stand together as we sing 440, Abide With Me. Fast falls the eventide. Do you want...
the Lord to be close to you. The alternative is the devil. Do you want the devil and the world to be close to you, or do you want the Lord to be close to you? There's only one choice on the shelf. Pleasing God or pleasing God. Let's all stand together as we sing this song. 440. If you need to come for any reason, would you come? Kneel at the altar. Perhaps you want to pray for someone you're burdened for. You want to pray for a need. Would you come as we sing this song? 440.
Continue to glorify you. For it's in Jesus' name we ask all of this.